On the Record with Gavin Riley on News Talk.
But first again, we will turn our attention to matters north of the border, because as we know now, Michael D. Higgins has declined to attend a church service in Armagh next month, which is billed as marking the centenaries of the partition of Ireland and the foundation of Northern Ireland. Now, that is the exact title under which he was invited by the leaders of four major churches, all of which are all Ireland bodies. There was, however, an event only 2 days ago, which was advertised as marking the centenary of the creation of Northern Ireland and the partition of Ireland, which is pretty much exactly the same words, maybe in a different formulation. One of the people who I believe was at that event 2 days ago was the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Doug Beattie, who's on the line with us now. Doug, good afternoon.
Gavin, how are you doing, sir?
Very good, Doug. Thank you very much for taking our call again this Sunday lunchtime. Were you at the event last Friday afternoon?
No, I wasn't. I had a prior engagement, but I had two of the members of my party who were there.
Okay.
Lord MP being one of them.
Can you understand why the Irish government and others would be okay to attend an event which is called the Centenary of the Creation of Northern Ireland and the Partition of Ireland, and yet not want to attend another event in a month's time which is called Marking the Centenaries of the Partition of Ireland and the Foundation of Northern Ireland?
Look, Gavin, it's all very confusing, and I suppose that the blanket coverage that this is getting is leading to a form of words which is coming from different directions, which is really unhelpful. Look, I have to go on the record and say that I think that the Irish president is absolutely up for reconciliation. I think he has shown that on many occasions before, and indeed, just last year, I commended him when he was given the speech at Croke Park, marking the events 100 years previous, when he actually mentioned the 13 people who were killed before those who were killed in Croke Park. And it was clear that he saw that we all suffered because of that. And that's why this decision, I think, is disappointing and is hard to fathom, because it's a real opportunity for reconciliation. And with strains between Northern Ireland and Ireland, between the UK and Ireland and the wider EU, you know, this is just going to do nothing but add to that, and that's concerning. And I think we really need to watch our language in regards to this, and just look at this and see that this is one event. We can look to other events which can do similar.
You mentioned that language is very important and that this was an opportunity for reconciliation. The event was advertised as marking the centenaries of the partition of Ireland and the foundation of Northern Ireland. Given the historical position of the Irish state in regretting partition as seeing it as a fairly negative matter and not wanting to even be seen to celebrate it in any way, can you understand why Michael D. Higgins believes that naming might be slightly politically loaded?
I don't, if I'm really honest with you, Gavin. I mean, as a unionist, and I'm a unionist, I would not use the word partition. Partition is really a word that we feel personally that is used more by the nationalist and republican community here. So actually, we got a sense that use of that word was actually to identify that some people believe and they have the viewpoint that it was a disastrous partition of this island, whereas myself...
Out of interest, and sorry to interrupt you, Doug, how would people of the unionist community then refer to the partition or the splitting or the segmentation of the island?
Well, we look at it at the creation of Northern Ireland. This is now the creation of what we see as our home. So this is the creation of Northern Ireland, and that's what it says in the invite, and that's what we look at. I mean, we can look at the deeper and the more philosophical side to all of this, and I can look at this and say, well, actually, yes, it is a partition, you know, partition of the United Kingdom, but I don't want to get into that. This is the whole point that I say, Gavin, about the blanket coverage of this is creating a form of words which is not helping with reconciliation whatsoever. I'm disappointed that he's not attending. I hope others do attend. I hope I get an invite and I will attend as well. And I think we need to understand it's a historical event that we are marking. Nobody's asking anybody to celebrate it, but we can mark these historic events.
Given the way in which it's become contested, and far be it for you to try and speak on behalf of Sinn Féin, I know it's the last thing you'd like to do, but can you offer any insight, or could you stab a guess as to why Sinn Féin would feel comfortable attending the event that was 2 days ago with a nearly identical title but wouldn't want to attend the one next month?
Opportunism is always been Sinn Féin's game. They will look to see where the opportunity is to stick the boot in, and then they will stick the boot in. They will be bolstered by the fact that 81% of the people in Ireland said that Michael D. Higgins was right not to attend the event in Armagh. But I think that's mostly because he is extremely popular, as opposed to people looking at the decision in the cold light of day. So that's the only reason why I think that they will see this as an opportunity, opportunism, in order to be able to stick that boot in.
Well, a spokesperson for Sinn Féin told the Sunday Independent this morning that their party has regularly attended events which afford us the opportunity to engage, debate and articulate our position on partition and the wholly negative consequences that it's had on our island for the past century. The event that Uachtaráin na hÉireann chose not to attend was not of this nature.
Well, it's a religious service by all four religious denominations on this island. That there's no reason why people cannot attend it. Sinn Féin included should be able to attend this. It is marking out hope for the future. I mean, I would ask, look, has the president engaged with the shared island unit of the Irish government to see, you know, is this something that we have to look at in order to create reconciliation between all corners of this island? I think it can do. I think it can help. I don't think anybody is tied down to a specific narrative if they attend a church service in Armagh, and that's why I'm disappointed. But I'm not one of these people, Gavin, who's going to run around vilifying the president, because I do know that he has reached out previously on many occasions, and that he does want reconciliation. So I take and I bank the positives. I look at missed opportunities, but I look for future opportunities.
Some of us have memories long enough to remember that he had the flag above Ours and Uachtaráin at half mast on the death of Prince Philip a few months ago, and it
yes.
seems that might have been forgotten by a lot of people. Do you think, with all of the attention which has been paid in all of this now, that the ship has sailed and that it won't be possible for the president or indeed any major figure within the Irish government to visit this event next month?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think everybody has the ability to stop and rethink and look at something and say, okay, look, you know, there's more to be gained here. So let's change our decisions. I don't take that away from anybody, and I wouldn't see that as just a simple U-turn. I would see that as something that would be very positive if they did change their mind and if the Irish government did send somebody up to this event. So I don't think anybody should be in a position to say, look, you know, they've changed their mind. Let's all point them out how wrong they got it in the first place. Let's just look at it as something that is more positive if they did change their mind. And I hope they do change their mind. I think it would be hugely of huge value if the President of Ireland did attend this church service with the Queen.
Obviously, you know that although the Republic now officially acknowledges the existence of Northern Ireland, there's no territorial claim over the six counties anymore. But nonetheless, it's still basically considered to be a matter of official state history that the creation of Northern Ireland is something which is deeply regretted by the Irish state and still by, I would imagine, the vast majority of the people. To people who say that, to say that the creation of Northern Ireland is nothing that is worth commemorating or nothing which is worth marking from a nationalist perspective, what do you say back to them?
Well, you know, that's their perspective. That's the way they look at things. And what they cannot do is take away what is historical fact. It is a historical fact. I can sit and I can say, I didn't want this partition either. I wanted the whole of Ireland to stay within the United Kingdom. I wanted it to remain as a United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland. And it's not that. So for me, I lost as well. I lost 26 counties of what I saw, or what I would have saw as the United Kingdom. So we all look at things from a slightly different perspective, but what we can do is respect difference. We can stand together in a church service and say, this is where we are. As people, we can be different, but there is more that unites us than divides us. I can't see how anybody can disargue with something like that. I'm willing to stand with my nationalist neighbours and accept their interpretation, as long as they can stand with me and accept my interpretation.
I have to say that from someone from the south looking northwards, that sense of regret or that sense of lamenting the loss of 26 counties of what you would see as your home country isn't something that ever comes across in southern eyes. We never see partition, as we would describe it, remarked as something which is lamented by northern unionists. It is only ever transmitted as something of a triumph because you were able to hang on to six counties for yourselves.
Well, I don't know who you're talking to, but you're talking to a unionist now. And the creation of Northern Ireland was that historical fact that we're talking about. But the partition is not something I would have wanted. I would have wanted Ireland to stay within the United Kingdom. You know, and, you know, I'm an Irishman. I've always identified as an Irishman. I've identified as an Irishman on this show on many
Indeed,
occasions. And Therefore, it doesn't matter who you talk to. We are where we are now, and that is Northern Ireland remains a part of the
Yeah,
United Kingdom.
I suppose what I mean is that is that sense of regret or that sense of lamenting, is it still something which is felt to this day? Because the reason I pointed out is because it's not something that I think many of my listeners today will ever have heard a unionist articulate before.
No, and they probably wouldn't have, because for the last 100 years, what we have been doing is establishing where we are now, and that is we have been promoting the Northern Ireland as part of the United Kingdom. But if you stop and you look and you think about how things have turned out, then you will lament how it all ended and how it all changed, and we would not have wanted it to change. In fact, in 2016, the Ulster Unionist Party, under the leader then Mike Nesbitt, actually came down to Dublin to talk and have a seminar about the Easter Rising, because we saw that as what was the catalyst for the change of this island. So we have reached out on many occasions in regards to this. Others might use different language, Gavin, and that's really up to them. What I'm trying to do is use a language to tell people both sides of the border that we are where we are who we are. We need to be able to respect each other, and anything we can do to build reconciliation, we should build reconciliation. That is what I want to do. I hope others can take me at my word when I say that.
I know it wasn't directed at you and at your party, but the president also had a bit of a go at the likes of the DUP for saying that they weren't exactly, you know, burning a very well-worn trail on the way down to Dublin and to Orson Oochtaron to discuss matters of the island with him. Is that something that you regret that they don't do, or something that they ought to do more of?
Look, they are a different political party. I can't come on and talk for them. What I try to do is talk for those people who I represent, and I think the vast majority of the people who I represent want to have good relations with everybody on this island. We share this small space. There are two jurisdictions, and we can make this place work. We can make both sides of this border work and be good for the people who live there. I think that's what our focus should be. If other political parties, larger unionist parties, miss that opportunity, then that's their missed opportunity. What I don't want to do is miss that opportunity, and therefore I reach out to, and I will speak with and engage with absolutely anybody and everybody to try and make this place work and make us all get on better.
Speaking of making this place work, this week we did also have the threat from your counterpart in the DUP, Geoffrey Donaldson, that he's going to pull out of Stormont by November if there isn't some sort of progress on dismantling the Northern Ireland Protocol. You've been good enough to come on this show before and talk about your concerns about the protocol. One would say very cynically that your party is doing very well in opinion polls, and that your party would be best placed to capitalise on some of the flux in unionism if there was to be an early election. How do you stand?
Well, I think there's a real problem here, Gavin, if I'm really honest, and that is people are peddling mistruths, and there are those who are out there who are genuinely concerned about the protocol, who will try and grasp onto anything to try and deal with that particular issue. And therefore, I think the DUP know that. They are peddling fear, and that fear may well bring people back to them and will vote for them. Where there's political parties such as ourselves who are trying to find solutions to a very real problem. One thing I will say is collapsing Stormont will not help in any way whatsoever. It will do the absolute opposite. And at the end of the day, by the end of this year, if you collapse Stormont, you'll have no Stormont, you'll have no say, and the protocol will still be there. So what we have to do is we have to engage. And I said this earlier on, speaking to you, Gavin, is I will speak to anybody, both sides of the border. I will not withdraw from North-South institutions. I will not promote the collapsing of the Assembly. I will do the opposite. I will engage more, and I will do all I can to keep the train on the tracks, that is the Assembly.
We'll certainly keep an eye on how things move, but Doug, thanks very much for taking your call this lunchtime. You're always very generous with your time. We always appreciate having you on. That's Doug Beattie there, MLA and leader of the Ulster Unionist Party.
On the Record with Gavin Riley
on News Talk